Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 535. I'm Amy Matheny, and let me tell you that there are still reverberations of the vote that did not happen in May in Springfield that would have made GLBT people equal under the law in terms of marriage equality. That has caused rumblings within the GLBTA community. And so therefore, there is going to be a march. That's what we do. We march. As gay people, we're very good. We actually parade, but we're going to march. It'll be a bit of a parade march in Springfield in October. And we want to get you excited about it right now and starting to tell your friends, your family, coworkers, ask your boss for the day off if you need to, or maybe encourage your business or company to say, hey, will you let people off on this day for free, or not penalize them, make them not have to lose a vacation day, or allow them to take the day off if they're GLBT or an ally and want to go and have themselves be seen and heard the day that the House comes back for voting sessions, for veto sessions. In October. So I have the person who got rallied behind this idea. And of course, when she gets behind an idea, things happen. And that is Tracy Baim, the owner and publisher of Windy City Times and editor. She is here. So my boss is here, everybody. Be on your best behavior. She is here to discuss how we are going to mobilize and also have a big celebration and a party, and also demand and challenge the House to see us and not count us unnumbered when they go back in session. So there is going to be a march. It is on October 22nd. We hope that you will be there. Bring your friends and family, and I'm going to tell you a lot more about it, like why it's happening, the story that's led us to this October date, how you can get involved, and fundraising efforts that are happening on the front end to let some people who possibly can't afford to go there, who might want to see this history being made, especially young people in the community, attend. So Tracy Baim on the show with me today, everybody. The boss is here. Be a part of history. History being made in your own backyard. Attend the March on Springfield for Marriage Equality, October 22nd, 2013. Demand that our lives be counted, our voices be heard, as the Illinois State House returns for their first day of the fall veto session. A vote for marriage equality could happen in October or November, so let's show up and demand equal protection under the law. You can help make Illinois the 14th state in the U.S. to support marriage equality. Plus, it will be the biggest GLBT party in the state this year. To get involved and get information on the march, visit marchonspringfield.org. Bring your friends, family, and your sassy self, and let's march for equality in Springfield this October 22nd. Visit marchonspringfield.org.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. The United States Social Security Administration has begun processing some retirement spousal claims for same-sex couples and paying benefits where they are due because of the recent United States Supreme Court decision rendering Section 3 of the Defense of Marriage Act unconstitutional. The payments are limited to couples residing in states that recognize full marriage equality for same-sex couples.
Newark Mayor Cory Booker moved one step closer to becoming the nation's only elected African-American senator when he won New Jersey's Democratic primary. The pro-gay Booker defeated Representative Frank Pallone and will now face Republican Steve Lonegan in the general election, which is a special election, in October.
In Iowa, a state panel agreed to investigate allegations that the National Organization for Marriage violated state law by not disclosing donors who contributed to campaigns opposing the retention of Iowa Supreme Court justices involved in the 2009 marriage equality decision. The National Organization for Marriage spent $635,000 in 2010 and nearly $100,000 in 2012 to try to defeat four of the justices who were part of the unanimous 2009 decision that led to same-sex marriage in Iowa. The probe could result in civil disciplinary action if the panel decides that the conservative organization failed to follow state campaign laws.
John Barry, whose nomination as U.S. ambassador to Australia was recently approved by the Senate, married Curtis Yee, his partner of 17 years in Washington, D.C. Yee, a former lawyer, will join Barry in Australia. Marriage equality supporters in Australia expressed regret that the government there will not recognize the couple's wedding.
The Department of Defense announced its plan to extend benefits to same-sex spouses of uniformed service members and Department of Defense civilian employees, following the Supreme Court's ruling that Section 3 of the Defense of Marriage Act is unconstitutional. The Defense Department will make spousal and family benefits available no later than September 3rd, regardless of sexual orientation, as long as service members' sponsors provide a valid marriage certificate.
Anti-gay protesters booed Eric Alva, a gay Marine veteran who lost his leg in the Iraq War, while he was speaking in favor of a non-discrimination ordinance at a San Antonio City Council meeting. The City Council is expected to vote on the ordinance September 5th.
In Georgia, Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed has an official advisor on LGBT issues after appointing gay attorney Robin Shahar to the position. Shahar is the chief counsel in the city of Atlanta's Department of Law and has worked in the city's law department since 1993.
200 Manhattan restaurants have boycotted Russian vodka because of the country's anti-gay policy. The streets ran with Russian vodka recently when advocates and restaurateurs poured out bottles of liquor in protest of the country's harsh anti-gay laws.
In Kentucky, a judge will decide if a lesbian couple joined in a 2004 civil union in Vermont will be granted spousal privilege when one of the women faces trial for murder. Bobby Jo Clary is accused of beating George Murphy to death with a hammer 2 years ago. She claims she was defending herself from Murphy, who sexually assaulted her. Kentucky prosecutors want Clary's partner, Geneva Case, to testify against Clary. Prosecutors say Clary confessed to the case. If convicted, Clary could face the death penalty.
Convicted information revealer Army Private First Class Bradley Manning acknowledged on August 14th that he hurt people and hurt the United States by leaking thousands of pages of classified documents. I understood what I was doing was wrong, but I didn't appreciate the broader effects of my actions, the out former Army intelligence analyst said during a sentencing hearing. I only wanted to help people, not hurt people. A military psychologist said Manning appeared to be under intense pressure as a male soldier struggling with gender identity issues.
In world news, in an interesting twist, it turns out that Mexico's first gay mayor does not support same-sex marriage. Benjamin Medrano, 47, recently won the election in Fresnillo, a conservative and largely rural county.
In Australia, Prime Minister candidate Kevin Rudd said he would, if reelected, introduce same-sex marriage legislation within 100 days of office. The incumbent Prime Minister made the announcement on a televised debate against opponent Tony Abbott, who agreed that same-sex marriage was a very important issue, although not the only important issue.
After winning a silver medal at the World Track and Field Championships in Moscow, August 13th, U.S. distance runner Nick Simmons openly dedicated the victory to his gay and lesbian friends in his home country. The act reportedly makes Simmons the first athlete to critique and oppose Russia's anti-gay legislation while in Russia.
Turkey appears set to join Albania as one of only two primarily Muslim nations to protect sexual minorities from discrimination. The country's Constitutional Consensus Committee agreed sexual orientation should be added to a section of a new draft constitution.
Russian political journalist Anton Krasovsky, 37, announced that he is gay on live television and was promptly fired from his job. Krasovsky came out gay January 25th, telling a late-night TV show audience that he is gay and as human as President Putin, Prime Minister Medvedev, and members of Parliament. He added that Olympics should not be boycotted because it's a global event, not a Russian one.
LGBT Russians hoping to escape persecution in their country can seek asylum in Canada. Chris Alexander, Canada's immigration minister, said that LGBT people who wish to flee persecution in Russia would have their asylum claim favorably reviewed by his country's refugee board.
In entertainment news, Queen Latifah has said she won't address her personal life in her upcoming syndicated talk show, The Queen Latifah Show. She said there are aspects of herself she is not willing to share with her fans. Last year, Latifah shot down rumors that she was signaling that she's lesbian while she performed at Long Beach Gay Pride.
Out designer Nate Berkus has sold his New York City dream home just 9 months after a feature spread in Architectural Digest. The Greenwich Village duplex sold for $4.95 million, meaning Berkus stands to net approximately $1.6 million. By contrast, Berkus's Chicago co-op sold this January for $1.6 million after 2 years on the market and more than $1 million in price cuts.
World Wrestling Entertainment superstar Darren Young surprised a TMZ cameraman when he came out as gay during an impromptu interview at Los Angeles International Airport. Wrestling blogs exploded with news of Young's coming out. Young is said to be the first openly gay male wrestler actively participating in the professional sphere.
Justin Timberlake will perform at MTV's Video Music Awards August 25th, and he will also receive the Michael Jackson Video Vanguard Award. The singer is tied with Macklemore and Ryan Lewis for the most VMA nominations this year.
Lifetime will air the movie House of Versace on October 5th. The movie stars Gina Gershon and screen icon Raquel Welch and chronicles Donatella Versace's journey after carrying on her brother, Johnny Versace's legacy, after his 1997 slaying. The film looks at Donatella's drug addiction, which nearly bankrupts the company, and her comeback.
Openly gay boxer Orlando Cruz proposed to longtime boyfriend Jose Manuel. Cruz became the first openly gay boxer last October when he released a statement referring to himself as a proud gay man.
And gay Olympian Johnny Weir said he's prepared to get arrested at the Winter Olympics in Sochi, Russia. Weir, who married his Russian-American husband Viktor Voronov in 2011, said that he would go because that's what I'm trained to do and that's what I've devoted my life to. President Obama recently said that the United States should not boycott the Olympics over the measure. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hey guys, this is Elizabeth Kina, and you're on the Windy City Queercast. Have a good one.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of August 19th, 2013, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Things aren't always what they seem in the upcoming world premiere production from Babes with Blades Theater Company. Beau Thomas and the Case of the Sky Pirates, a film noir-flavored detective story with enough twists and turns to keep you guessing. The show runs now through September 21st at the Raven Theater's West Stage. Visit babeswithblades.org for tickets. Don't miss Beau Thomas and the Case of the Sky Pirates. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller, post a comment at WindyCityQueerCast.com. LGBT community have been on Springfield this year for the fight for marriage equality, but that fight continues after an unexpected disappointment in May. Illinois' GLBT community had to regroup, reassess how to help their state become the next state in the United States to declare all of its citizens equal under the law. Publisher of Windy City Times, Tracy Baim, is here to discuss some of the mobilizing efforts that are going on to help our voices be heard and our lives be counted in this state of Illinois so that we are all counted equal. Hey, Tracy, how are you?
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for being on. It's always good when the boss, you know, knows that I'm doing my job. So, Tracy, I mean, you are a great, great historian. I mean, you have helped on pretty much every historical GLBT project and book and documentary and archive that exists in the city, so, and in the state. And I know that it's a long story that got us to May of 2013. But just the highlights of what really led up to the potential House vote in May that would have provided marriage equality for all people of Illinois. How did we get even that far?
Well, you know, for decades, Illinois people were working on just the most basic of LGBT rights in terms of job protections, housing, and public accommodations. Mm-hmm. And those passed a few years ago, which led to us getting civil unions later on. So mm-hmm. just a short time after that, we got civil unions. As part of that battle, some of the people who voted for civil unions in the state House and Senate said they weren't really ready for marriage in Illinois, and the activists had made a commitment that they weren't really going for full marriage at that point. Well, soon after, within 3 years, the 2 years, the push started to get marriage in Illinois because it was very clear, everybody knew that civil unions was really only a very small partial solution, a kind of a gap filler until full marriage happened. Parallel to that, of course, there were national efforts to get the Defense of Marriage Act struck down, and that happened a month after the failed vote for Illinois. So in Illinois, on February 14th, the state Senate did pass the Religious Freedom and Marriage Fairness Act, which is the marriage equality bill. The state House committee passed it out of committee, and then it went to the full state House. Mm-hmm. And the legislature spring session ended May 31st, and unfortunately it ended without even a vote on the issue. Mm-hmm. The bill sponsors felt like they were going to fall too far short, and they wanted to delay a vote to see if they could build support in what's called the fall veto session in Illinois. The first day of that fall veto session is October 22nd. And so really there was a lot of disappointment that a vote was not had. A lot of activists and leaders and organizations that were working on this felt that there had been a promise to vote no matter what. And that disappointment has really been channeled into a new vigorous effort to pass the bill. There's a couple parallel efforts happening. Illinois Unites, which was the kind of coalition of organizations in the spring working on this, is continuing its efforts, and they have now hired an executive director and dozens of staff members. They're doing a $2 million insider game campaign where they're doing the lobbying, and then they're also doing outreach and education across the state.
Now, that works with lawmakers. Illinois Unites is working more with the constituents and people that...
Well, they're working with both. They're more of a political organization. Mm-hmm. They're working all angles of the bill to get constituents mobilized, to call their state reps. Again, it already passed the Senate, so really the focus right now is on the state reps. There's 118 districts. So there is a really big push to get folks pushing, especially a few dozen of the key ones in the middle that have not indicated or are wavering. So they're doing, they have almost 50 members of their coalition, and they're raising a ton of money and have full-time staff working on this. Parallel to that, after May 31st, I was a little bit frustrated and asked Greg Harris, the state rep sponsor of the bill, if 10,000 people had showed up in Springfield on May 31st, would a vote have happened? And he indicated that that might have been enough to pressure to get a vote done. So I'm kind of calling him at his word, and we're calling on folks across the Midwest, not just Illinois, to show up in Springfield on Tuesday, October 22nd, to give a show of force and support to the state reps to embolden them to call this for a vote in the veto session. So that's going to be the first day of the fall veto session. The vote would not happen that day. That's just when the reps are coming back. But it will be a show of force as well as kind of a community building experience.
So for people who don't live in the U.S., maybe listening to this, or people who don't live in Illinois, how would you describe Illinois, you know, on civil rights issues and GLBT issues? I mean, we're the city that works. I mean, it feels kind of odd that we don't have this when, you know, I was just watching this great PBS documentary David Carter did based on his book, Stonewall Uprising. And I really didn't even know the statistic in years of working in GLBT news that at the time of Stonewall, Illinois was the only state that you couldn't be arrested for having same-sex relations. So we've been seen as a leader, right?
Well, have a mixed bag. In 1961, the state constitution was being rewritten, and it had followed a few years earlier where there were some legal maneuvers and legal discussions about the issue of sodomy laws. So our timing on changing our sodomy law to not include same-sex relations was actually very fortuitous. We just happened to come soon after these national objective legal scholars started to say that these laws needed to change. So in 1961/62, Illinois wrote those homophobic laws out of our state constitution. Mm-hmm. But over the years, Illinois has really fluctuated between this really very conservative politics when Pete Phillip was head of the state Senate, and we had a long series of Republican governors, some of them very conservative, some of them moderate, and it took decades, really, for us to get gay rights under Blagojevich. It did not happen under George Ryan actually was pretty moderate, and Blagojevich then was a Democrat who obviously had his own issues, but he was very pro-gay, and then we're under Governor Quinn. So the state is very interesting. The state is like its own country, meaning it's got very right-wing elements to it, very strong pockets of Republican control. Even though the Democrats control the chambers now, there are still Democrats who are more moderate and conservative from those districts, and they're worried about losing their seats. Mm-hmm. So part of the frustration, I think, for the community is that they know that Mike Madigan, who's the Speaker of the State House, can get something done if he wants to. And they felt like he did not have the will to pass this because it wasn't about gay marriage for him. It was about electability of some of the reps in their district. So delaying the vote to the veto session gave them some cover to be closer to the registration deadline for opponents who might run against them. So people felt like they were being played, that they were being manipulated, and that the Democratic Party, which had long said that, you know, give us a control of the state House and Senate and we'll get you your rights, wasn't following through on those promises. The Democratic Party has super majority in the state house. They could easily pass this and still have a few of their members not vote for it. So there was a lot of frustration with the Democratic Party in how this all played out in the spring session.
So, you know, so in answering why the vote stalled, the most official word is that Madigan did it as a political maneuver to keep people in positions of power whose constituents might have wanted to kick them out based on the fact on how they voted for this. So
right now,
that's one opinion as to whose fault this
is.
I mean, Greg Harris has obviously gotten some flack as well.
Right now, so that was one opinion, right? Yep. What was officially stated was that the reps that were concerned about that wanted to go back to their constituencies to discuss this with them and have public forums. Now, we're 3 months post not having a vote, and there haven't been any large-scale forums sponsored by any of the state reps, so the belief that this was just cover until the fall is more clearly happening because there hasn't been a lot of educational events happening from the state reps in their
right.
district. So it's okay. It doesn't matter why. It just happened, and mm-hmm. we have to respond to that in the best way we can, which is full-force lobbying, and that's what Illinois Unites is doing, and a lot of the coalition partners are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And for myself, this is why I wanted to organize the march. I felt it was a community-building experience in response to mm-hmm. what was really a slap in the face in the session. But you know what? On the last day of the session, there were only probably 100 to, at the most, 200 LGBTs and allies in Springfield at the state capitol in a state of millions. So, you know, we have to not forget that Facebook is not how you show up for your rights.
Mm.
Sometimes you actually got to show up in person.
Yeah.
So I really feel like that's what we need to translate that anger into, is actually showing up in Springfield one day and maybe 2 days if you want to take in some great Lincoln Museum tourism stuff and show your support for our Springfield colleagues, to really feel like you are contributing to the movement and to your own rights.
So the March on Springfield is on October 22nd. Tell me again the relevance of that day, because that is not the day that a vote would happen on for the House bill. What is that
right.
day exactly?
So,
and when would the vote potentially happen, or can we even say?
Well, here's the thing about the fall veto session. They have 6 dates scheduled on their calendar for the fall veto session. They could at any point cancel any one of those dates, but they won't meet earlier than those dates. So Tuesday, October 22nd is the first date on the calendar for the fall veto session. The next day, October 23rd, is the first full day, and the right wing already has a permit for the inside of the Capitol. So we wanted to come before the right wing's protests, and we wanted to be there the first day as they're getting back in town, as the media's getting back in town, and allow for a really strong show of support before they really started getting into legislation. There are not a lot of things on the fall calendar. The push by both Illinois Unites and obviously this marriage march is to have that vote happen in the fall veto session and not be delayed any longer. There could be a push to get it in the January special session, which is well after the deadline for any candidates to file and only a month before the primaries. But all the activists and leaders on this want this to happen in the fall veto session and not have any further delay or cover for the reps. So that's why it's basically the first day of that session. And so they meet 3 days that week and then 3 days in November. So the hope is that it would be by November that this would be voted on and passed. Governor Quinn said he would sign it. So really the only obstacle right now is getting to the 61 votes in the state house. They really want to push for 70-something votes, because what that will mean is it'll be enough to change the law to actually have it implement earlier. Right now, if it's passed in the fall veto session, it would not go into effect until, I believe, the end of June next year. If it had passed this past spring, it would have gone into effect in 30 days. Mm. But the fall veto votes, you have to have enough of a majority to change the date that it starts in session. Starts in effect.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, there's a lot of complicated legal maneuverings.
Right.
But the bottom line is, we want to vote in the House in October or at the latest November, so that it passes in the fall veto session, and then Governor Quinn can sign it.
So, Tracy, what do you think the effects? You're obviously talking with activists and organizations, civil rights organizations nationally and in other states, I'm sure, working on this march, and also within the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois, some of which I'll give you a time here in a minute to tell us who you're working with. But what do you think the impact of the Supreme Court's historic rulings, as you said, 30 days after there was no vote in May, the Supreme Court struck down DOMA and Prop 8 also, these were seen as DOMA was ruled unconstitutional, Prop 8 struck down. People are now marrying. We have now seen 2 more states move ahead with same-sex marriage, now making, if it happens with Illinois now, we'd be 14. Is that right, I think?
Right, yes. 14 plus the District of Columbia. Right. You know, what's interesting, Doma, only a portion of Doma was struck down, and it's causing a legal nightmare and quagmire mm-hmm. across the country right now, depending on if you're a state that accepts it or not. Illinois, if you are married in Iowa, for example, and you live in Illinois, it immediately gets downgraded to a civil union for Illinois purposes. The federal government right now is in a quandary about how to recognize marriages for those legally married in one state but live in a state that don't recognize them, mm-hmm. in terms of Social Security benefits and all sorts of things. So there's really, it's just a nightmare. It's a great season for lawyers and accountants who are going to be able to bill a lot more hours this year because it's causing real chaos. And Illinois right now is in this awkward legal situation. What's happening also on the legal front in Illinois is the Lambda Legal and the ACLU have really terrific case going through the courts right now about whether about the legal status really of our civil union / marriages in Illinois. So there won't be likely a decision on that soon. There's a end of September. There's a case on some legal aspects of it. But it's highly unlikely that we will see something happen this year determinative on that case. So no matter what, we have to have a law. Even if we get a good legal ruling, it's still very important to have a law in Illinois passed by the legislature and signed by the governor to make this more firm and permanent of a change in the state. So, you know, we've got lots of parallel things going on, and marriage rights is just one of them. What's interesting about why I got involved in this is marriage to me is really one of about 35,000 things I think the LGBT community needs to be working on, including homeless issues for youth and seniors and AIDS issues, et cetera. But I really felt like this issue could be a community building moment across the state of Illinois. Oftentimes in Chicago, we do take it for granted how much progress we've made, but our sisters and brothers throughout the state do not have those benefits. And so we need to work in coalition with them to show that we know who they are, that we know that they need our support just like they've supported us over the years and come to our pride parades and rodeos and all of that stuff, that we should show up in Springfield and Kankakee and Decatur and other places when they need protesters to confront the right wing in their communities. So I really felt like this was a community building moment, and many of the people that are co-chairing this with me feel the same way, that there are many other issues that they would put in front of marriage in terms of priority for our community, but that this is a moment where we can work together. There are many people on our committee that immigration and poverty issues are far more important, but they do see that working in coalition on this one issue can bring our community together stronger. So it's been an interesting process, and you know, we just have really 2 months to go. Yeah. So people can, you know, we won't get everything done, but we really feel like already we've made a lot of interesting connections to people across the state.
So you said to Greg Harris, if 10,000 people, is that the number? Is that the goal? And how are you trying to get to that goal? And how are you helping people get there?
So a couple things. One is we're not saying 10,000 people because we don't want to set a bar and then think we failed if we didn't hit it. I think that minimally we can get 2,000 or 3,000 people there, and likely we could get 10,000 people. One thing to know is that there has never been a march on Springfield for LGBT rights.
Huh.
Usually what has happened is there's been lobby days. And lobby days are very, very small. I mean, maybe 200 or 300 people at the most. So we're doing something that's never been done for LGBT rights in Illinois. It's been done on union issues and other issues, but it's never been done on LGBT rights. So that's right off the bat, a new idea. The second thing is a lot of lobby days focus very much on busing people to Springfield. We are taking a model of March on Washington style event, which is that people know how to get to places. They are adults. And if they can afford it and drive there or take Amtrak or Greyhound or whatever it is, we can get there, right? I mean, this is an empowerment moment. You can get to P-Town. You can get to Springfield, Illinois. It's literally a 3-hour drive from Chicago. Sometimes you're stuck in traffic getting to O'Hare for that long. So people can get to Springfield. But we are going to raise some money for a few youth buses. And I know that there are dozens of organizations that have expressed interest in doing their own buses. So Equality Illinois and Lambda Legal, AIDS Foundation of Chicago, Center on Halsted, a lot of organizations were pushing to do their own buses. And even Windy City Times, we're doing a bus. So there are bars like Crew and Fiesta Tequila and some other ones that have indicated interest in doing buses. So there will be buses going. Mm-hmm. And some of them will be free and some of them will be pay party buses. And there'll be ones from other parts of the state. But our real big push is to empower people to get there in caravans or however they really can. And we're going to have DJ Laura Brantz is going to create a nice queer DJ mix for people if they want to pick it up for their ride on the buses or in their cars. We're going to give, you know, people trivia questions if they want to have games to play and sign building. Even our model for T-shirts is unique, where we're basically handing out thousands of iron-on decals for people to make their own T-shirts for the march, their own signs, all that kind of stuff. We want people to understand this is a very low-budget, low-cost effort to make a difference. The other thing is we're really lucky that some of the people that have organized union events down in Springfield have agreed to come on board as our volunteer logistics team. These are straight allies from the AFSCME and other unions that are willing to take the time and help us on logistics to really make it easy for us to, you know, get the people there, and they will help us with, you know, whether it's 2,000 people or 10,000 people, they will help us make that happen in a similar way that the union events have happened before. So we're doing all our materials, you know, our printing, our wristbands, everything we can, we're doing through union vendors. And really feel like we have a strong alliance with the unions on this whole project.
Yeah, and we should just say that, you know, there is a website, a comprehensive website. I'm assuming that's going to tell people where they can download the playlist or pick up the playlist or get their iron on or find out all the details and times and where to meet on which corner and all of that.
Yeah.
At marchonspringfield.org. We'll have that linked in our show notes. Now, people can help contribute to these buses because you do feel it's very important for the young people of the GLBT community or even allied young people to understand that this is a civil rights moment in their backyard, and for youth to be able to attend. One, there's two that I know about. One is an online funding campaign, and that may be something people can donate through until the event, you know, that they can donate and send money to this March effort, which is a 501c3 effort. And then you also have an event coming up here on September 9th, which Scott Duff and I have talked about on one of our previous podcasts. But tell us about ways in which people can financially contribute if they would like to.
Right. Well, our Indiegogo campaign is going to be ending this week, but we're going to start another one so that by the time this show airs, we'll have other ways people can contribute online as well as by sending checks in. Mm-hmm. Our fiscal agent is the Equality Illinois Education Project. We're a separate entity, but they're acting as our fiscal agent. We have the benefit is September 9th at City Winery with a lot of terrific local queer musicians. And
that's such a great venue, right? I mean, it's so, if people have not been there, like the food, the beers on tap, the wines, I mean, it's incredible. You can, like, it's like really high-end cool dinner theater, or if Ravinia went indoors.
Yeah, exactly.
Really an awesome space. Really awesome.
Yeah, so it's a Monday night benefit, and it's just $10, $15, and $25, so it's real low cost. We're going to, the funds raised there are going to go first to some Southside youth buses from the House Ball community. Mm-hmm. Solomon Arnold is one of our co-chairs, and he works with the House Ball community. And we want to get a lot of youth there from the Southside districts, from those reps districts. But also, you know, we'll raise it, we want to get one on the Southwest side. Emmanuel Garcia, one of our co-chairs, works for Project Vita. We want to have a bus leaving from Little Village. So, you know, we definitely have a lot of needs there, but again, we hope that a lot of organizations are also going to step up and say, you know what, we can get underwriting for one bus. It's just $1,600 for 15 people. I mean, I'm sorry, for 56 people. And so there'll be lots of different opportunities for people to get there. Amtrak's just less than $40 for a round trip. It gets you there in time. It gets in at 12:20 in Springfield and leaves at 5:30. The events are just from 1 to 4 p.m. in Springfield, so it's an easy one-day thing if people can't take any more time off than that. What's really important is to get a really strong turnout from Central Illinois. I mean, obviously, there's enough people in Springfield, LGBT and allied, that they could, you know, put 100,000 people in the street if they wanted to. So we're really working hard to get a lot of people in Springfield area, a lot of campuses that are within 25 to 50 miles from there that can attend it as well. So there's just lots of opportunities. This is one of those very, very rare coalition building moments for our community. I attended four of the marches on Washington for LGBT rights, and every one of them changed me in some way.
Yeah.
And here we're going to have it, as you said, right in our backyard. This is an opportunity for youth to really participate in a multi-generational event,
mm-hmm.
one of those really rare, especially in central Illinois, opportunities for the whole state to come together.
Do you think you will see allies from other aligning states coming in and helping as well? Are you working with any coalitions to bring some folks from Iowa and elsewhere who have felt the impact of having this type of opportunity for more equality for all its citizens?
Yeah, absolutely. So Illinois Unites, many of the coalition members are national that belong to Illinois Unites, and some of our partners as well, like GLAAD and Planned Parenthood and HRC and Lambda Legal, they all have really strong Midwest databases, and part of our partnership with them is for them to email those databases. Iowa and Minnesota already have marriage, and we want them to come down and show their support. And then Indiana next year may be facing a really horrible referendum. Ohio's really pushing strongly for marriage. So we want to create a reciprocal relationship. If the Indianans can come and show their support in Springfield this year, that a lot of Illinois people want to go and support them next mm-hmm. year in events that they do. So, yes, I feel like this is a very Midwest-focused event. And I was in St. Louis a few weeks ago, and people in St. Louis are actually closer than we are to mm-hmm. Springfield geographically. And they were really interested in showing up. We're trying to get choral groups, for example, that are based in the Midwest, to send as many members that can take the day off and then do some joint choral music for the event. So, yeah, there's a lot of great opportunity for coalitions with other states, with straight organizations. It's really a matter of how much time we have in the very limited resources we have to do the outreach. You know, we have no staff doing this. It's all volunteer.
Right.
So we think that the momentum's already been there the last 6 weeks, that it's only going to build over the next 2 months, especially as folks get back from vacations,
right.
as students get back on campuses. The push is going to be huge right after Labor Day.
Great. Well, I think Tracy's pretty much said that if you're listening to this show, you have friends or allies or coworkers, who you can tell about, really anybody is the person that they want to attend, young or old. This is a teaching moment, an educational moment, families. There is no age limit here. Bring your children, bring your nieces and nephews, family members, come down and show your support. I know that I will be there, and much of the Windy City Times, Windy City CareerCast staff will be there. The March on Springfield for Marriage Equality will take place on October 22nd, 2013, this year, just a couple of months. It's the scheduled first day of the fall veto session of the Illinois State Legislature. Let's make our voices heard. Let's make ourselves be seen, everyone. And let's have change happen to Illinois, because we're poised for this to happen. As my dad would say, we're teed up. We're teed up to hit this ball. So let's knock it out of the park. Let's get a hole in one and get this this bill passed so that we can have marriage equality for all in the state of Illinois, and that 2014 Gay Pride might feel quite different than 2013. You know, it is interesting, Tracy. I always feel like in Illinois, you know, here we were when Barack Obama's first election, you know, it's happening in Millennium Park, very, very exciting. And yet that was also for LGBT people, you know, a really bittersweet election. And it felt like this year, because of so many anti same-sex marriage referendums everything was struck down that had anything to do that would help us across the U.S. And yet, you know, Barack Obama, historic moment. So here we have, you know, our May session in the House where, you know, the vote doesn't even happen. There's no transparency. We don't know who's for us, who's against us. We felt like the vote was for sure going to happen, so we'd at least know that. And then 30 days later, you know, right before we celebrate Gay Pride and the anniversary of Stonewall, you know, this exciting news from the Supreme Court, historic news. So it seems like there have been some bittersweet moments, but hopefully 2014 will be our year that it will be all sweet. And that's a good, hopeful thing to look forward to. Tracy, thank you for your work and your efforts on this. If people want to get involved, can they get involved on the website as well?
Yeah, there's a way to sign up there. And if anybody wants to directly do even more work, they can email me, editor@windycitytimes.com.
All right, we'll have that linked in our show notes. Tracy Baim, editor@windycitytimes.com. The website, marchonspringfield.org. Even though we said, you know, Facebook is not like showing up in person, spreading the word, being willing to say, I'm going to fill my car and go down. Or me and a friend, we're going to fill both our cars and go down. I know those kind of mobilizing efforts are exponential and obviously will help. And plus, make it a really fun day to play hooky. I know that a lot of GLBT businesses or GLBT-friendly businesses might understand if you say, you know, I'm going to stand for my rights today. And it might be worth a vacation day to do that. I think it is in the long run. So, Tracy, we will continue talking about this. Show up to City Winery on Monday, September 9th. You will hear headlining our new 2013 Windy City Gay Idol, Maria Paul. And she is rocking. She is amazing. She's going to bring down the house. Plus, cute, hunky TJ Chernick and Sammy Gersaffi and many, many, many others. So it's going to be a really great name. Plus, my new favorite gal, Deborah from The Voice, Christina Aguilera's mentee. Is that what you'd call it? Christina was her mentor on The Voice. She is a powerhouse as well. So I think the Randolph Street's going to be rocking come September 9th, and we hope you're there with us to help raise funds for the march. Tracy, thanks so much, and we'll all see you on October 22nd in Springfield.
Thank you.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY. I hope you had a great week and are looking ahead to another wonderful week. It's been such glorious weather this summer, so it's a great time to get out in the yard, get out in the park, and talk to some friends, and maybe you can encourage a group of people to come and pile into your car and head on down to Springfield on October 22nd. I will be there, Scott Duff, Mitchell Fain, a lot of the QueerCast family. We're going to be showing up, and we'll be there, so we hope you're there too. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Thanks for listening to another Windy City QueerCast. Special thanks to our QueerCast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueerCast.com and iTunes. The next QueerCast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City QueerCast, queer and now.